the streets of your town, or the streets of Melbourne at least, there's a new interactive project underway in the streets of Melbourne. It's a kind of treasure hunt for stories. Now, here's what you need. You need a smartphone app. You need a smartphone as well. You need a pair of headphones, and you need some comfortable walking shoes. It's called Invisible Cities, and the artist responsible for this is Asha B. Abraham, and she's sitting right in front of me. Asha, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Nice to have you here. So what is this project in a nutshell?
So Invisible Cities is about people's relationships with places in the city, I guess. I wanted to create a project that opens windows into the secret lives of the people and places around us.
You know, so often we walk around the city and it's really just a place for commerce and business, isn't it? And I always think if you look above the verandas, above the awning, at the building, across the street, instead of looking in shop windows, you see a city that you can otherwise miss, because the history of the city is in those old buildings, because everything's modernised at ground level, everything's erased.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in the history, but you're interested in another kind of story.
Well, I'm interested in all of that. So Invisible Cities, I guess, I've been recording people's stories, meeting people, strangers sometimes, in a place in the city that they have a relationship with.
But how do you mean? You just rock up to somebody you don't know with a tape recorder and say, here, tell us your story.
No, I haven't been doing that yet, but people have been getting in touch with me, or I've been,
And how do they know to get in touch with you?
So there's a website, www.invisiblecities.com.au.
That's invisiblecities.com.au.
Exactly. And people can submit a story through that website, and then I'll arrange to meet them at the setting of their story in the city, and to make a recording of their relationship.
Oh, this is great.
Place.
So you actually stand outside, say, Flinders Street Station and say, this is the place where I fell over and broke my leg.
Exactly.
Got you. And when did you start thinking along these lines?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I proposed this story a couple of years ago when I was about to go to Berlin to do a residency there. But it actually, I came up with the idea, like, subconsciously, years before that, in about 2007, 2008, when I was reading Invisible Cities by Italo Calvino. And I was reading the book and sort of was thinking about the ways that we recreate the city through our stories, the trails of story that we leave behind us as we move through the city. And I kind of wanted to capture that, I guess, through a project.
We should hear an example of what you've done. This is Lucy. This is the story Lucy told you.
My name's Lucy, and I'm sitting in Market Lane, which is actually where my story happened. I used to play in a band, and we used to regularly play at Ding Dong Lounge, and I used to play the drums, and we'd load all our gear in and play, and then we'd pack it all up and head down the stairs, and we do this like trek, this pilgrimage up the street to Cherry Bar. And this one night, this one early morning, I was coming down these stairs and I stepped out into the street and I was nearly bowled over by a group of women on a hen's night, and they were all hammered and they were stumbling down the street kind of like zombies. And I couldn't see the bride, but as I made it past them, I saw that she was straggling a little bit behind. She was on her own, and as she passed me, she just grabbed me. And she said, "I'm making a really big mistake." And I was like, "What?" I kind of laughed because I thought she was joking, and she wasn't. She said, "What do? I'm making a really big mistake." And I just stood there for a moment and I just stared at her. And I feel like she expected me to know the answer to a question I was just not equipped for, you know. She was really holding onto my shoulders and really looking me in the eye, and I didn't know what to say. So I just said, "Sleep on it." And I walked off. And then made it to Cherry and hit the D4. And I kept thinking about this person. And in fact, this would have been like 10 years ago, but I still think about her. I wonder if she got married. I wonder what she's doing. I wonder if she's happy. I wonder if she still grabs random people and blurts personal information about them. But it was just one of those moments on a night that she probably forgot about it. She probably woke up and, you know, went ahead with the wedding. But I think about it. Yeah, I wonder what she's doing now. So that's my story.
If she forgot about it, she's just remembered it all over again. Now, if you're that woman, if you grabbed Lucy 10 years ago in Market Lane and said, "I'm making a big mistake," all of Australia wants to know how it turned out. Did you go through with it? Did you marry the guy? I assume it's a guy. Or did you see the error of your ways? What would you have done, do you reckon, Asha? What would you have done?
If I was Lucy?
Yeah, if this woman had said, I'm making a big mistake.
Yeah, I probably would have had the same response as Lucy and just been like, ah.
So would you? I think I would have been more assertive. Well, don't marry him then. You've got to be sure, I would have said. Wait.
Yeah, I feel like this story really sort of represents what this project is about. Like, we pass these people in these places, you know, on a strangers on the street on a daily basis.
It must be so eerie to experience this because we, you know, on the radio we're used to the disembodied voice, but to be out in the city and to have this, you know, headphones on and suddenly have a voice say, hi, my name's Lucy and I'm sitting in, you know, Market Lane, where you are, you know, where one is oneself, to hear this voice speaking to you, as it were, from the geography, that's a very cool effect.
Yeah, so you have to go to the story sites to unlock one of these stories. And, yeah, I wanted people to have to go to the site and, you know, experience the...
So the GPS and the phone are somehow linked into the software that makes all this happen. Yeah.
Exactly. So that your phone, once you've got the app, the phone will notify you if you're near a story site. So you
have to story go. Coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is
exactly.
Great. And you said earlier that you're in Berlin. Did you see work like this in Berlin?
I didn't actually.
Because there's a group in Berlin, an art group called Rimini Protocol, who did a project like this, which involved stories about the Stasi.
Right.
And you went to different locations and people told you their experiences with the Stasi.
Oh, wow.
So it's in the kind of zeitgeist, to use a German term, a Berlin term. Yeah. So how many have you got? How many stories?
There's 33 at the moment, but I'm continuing to record stories until the end of the year or maybe a bit after. So, yeah, I'm actually doing another
one
today.
Don't stop at the end of the year. The end of the year is only 10 days away or something.
Keep going.
So how do people do this? What do they need to do if they've got a beaut story about Melbourne?
Yeah, so they can get in touch with me through the website. And we'll arrange a time to...
Just say the website again.
Invisiblecities.com.au.
Okay.
And, yeah, and we'll arrange a time to meet at that location. And then, yeah, once I embed the story at the site, I put a plaque up, a temporary plaque up at the story site, just so that passers-by know that it's a place of significance someone out there.
Has someone licensed you to do this, or are you just going around sticking them on walls?
I'm contacting every single business and, yeah.
So you're not a rule breaker?
No, not for this, no.
And how did you go about developing this app?
With a lot of help from some people, some very technologically minded people.
I've got
an app developer and a UX UI designer in the team, Sandy Milne and Jemmy White. And
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds very techie.
Neither did I before. And we had a digital producer on board early on and who translated the ideas to the tech-minded people. And, yeah.
And are you minded to take this idea to other cities?
I would love to. It's the sort of project that can be translated to different cities. You know, every city has its stories that gives its personality. I would love to take this
I suppose the trick is to find a way of branding it so that it's your idea. I mean, you could become a sort of franchise. I'm sorry to give you a little talk on product development. What would I know? But I mean, anyone could come up with this of their own volition.
Sure.
They don't really need to run it through you because, I say, it's out there. I mean, I would love to do one on history, purely about history, you know, to have sound effects and people saying, you know, 'tis I, Governor Macquarie, or...
You should.
You know, here's hello, I'm Ben Along and this was my country, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, okay. Well, perhaps between the hours of 2 and 3 in the morning I could work on that one. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in. Oh, you're going to say something else?
No, I was going to say that, yeah, there is a bit of, like, so there's these personal stories as well as a few historical stories in the mix. So, for example, Dean, who's a Wamba Wamba Wagaya man, Victorian Indigenous man, tells a story about the rocks that are just visible under the waterline at the bottom of Queen's Bridge, at the south end of Queen's Bridge.
There used to be a waterfall
exactly,
there.
Exactly, exactly.
See, I know these things. Yeah. It got blown up, you know. They blew it up with dynamite.
Yes, so I hear.
There's a painting by Tom Roberts. I think it's Tom Roberts. Anyway, one of those Heidelberg painters of the falls before they were dynamite. Mm. And you can see all these rocks.
Yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, I can't tell you anything. I thought at least I could get one up on you. And is it worth reading Italo Calvino's Invisible Cities? It's the story of Marco Polo talking to Kublai Khan.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fantastic book. It's, yeah, obviously it's inspired me.
What's the premise? He tells him the stories of cities he's seen, does he? Is that what Marco Polo
does? Yeah, yep. But then people say that it's all describing Venice, all of these stories. Right. All of these cities are actually the same.
So you were reading this book and taking notes, were you?
Yeah, so I was using a working title for this project that I didn't really love, and just before the project went public, I was like, I need to come up with a new name, and then I was glancing at this book on my bookshelf. And
you've actually got that tatty book there.
I do.
Hand it over. Hand it over. Oh, you've scribbled all over the back cover.
Well, that's the thing. When I was trying to work out why I was drawn to call it this, you won't be able to read any
of those
notes.
I can. The image of the whole place exists only in the mind. One can never know a city in its entirety. See, this is wisdom written in scrawly handwriting in the back of a second-hand book. And look at what it's become. Thank you so much, Asha, for coming in
and sharing
the wisdom that sprung from the back cover of what you wrote in the back of Invisible Cities. Been lovely to meet you. It's a wonderful project.
Thank you.
The details of Asha B. Abrams' project called Invisible Cities are there on our website. And if you happen to live in Melbourne, why don't you get involved? Because she says she's going to stop collecting in the next couple of days, but I think she should go on for a few weeks yet. Across Australia, this is Books and Arts on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart.